and we didn't know that was going to be our last opportunity.
Oh, that's...
So...
That's intense. That's super rough, man.
Yeah.
I am your host, Zach Weaver, and this is Made Us. This week, I had a chance to catch up with radio personality Matt Malone. One of Matt's biggest passions is paying it forward. And after listening today, you'll know exactly why. Guys, I'll tell you right now, this episode was full of emotion and honestly got me too. Listening to Matt's childhood adversities and why being charitable is such a big deal to him, it's one that'll bring a tear to your eye. And of course, we have a few laughs along the way. I was really happy to have Matt on as a guest today, and he really opened up to me more than I expected. And for that, I am forever grateful. I truly appreciate your support of this show. And if you like what you've been hearing on Made Us, give us a 5-star rate and review in iTunes and share the show with a friend. Both of these really help the show grow and get these stories out to new people. And if you want to stay connected with me, you can go to facebook.com/madeuspodcast or check us out on Instagram or Twitter @madeuspodcast. And if you guys go to Instagram right now, you can see a video of Bob Ruff and I sumo wrestling in a podunk bar in the middle of nowhere. And if you don't know who Bob Ruff is, check out episode number 10. So once again, I want to thank all of you listeners for tuning in and supporting the show. Today's episode doesn't have any ads, but if you want to support this show, support the companies that support us. All right, guys, I'm sorry to be rambling, but today's episode was a lot of fun, and you get to hear a little bit of my past as well. I really appreciate Matt stopping by the studio tonight and talking with me. So now that I've said all this, let's get to the interview and let's hear what Matt has to say. So please help me welcome Matt Malone. Matt, welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for joining me tonight.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me. There's cold beer, which is awesome. So that wins me over right away.
Yeah, you got to love that, right?
Absolutely.
And you brought me some beer. Where's this beer from?
This is actually a Wisconsin-made and Wisconsin-only beer from the New Glarus Brewing Company, and it's called Spotted Cow, and it's only available in Wisconsin.
It's pretty delicious.
I'm kind of a badass right now. I don't know if you realize this. I smuggled this out and brought it here directly for you, all right?
I appreciate
You're
that.
You're welcome. But you got to keep it away from that mug.
Oh, yeah. So for those that don't know, and we'll get into this, Matt's from Wisconsin, and I am drinking also out of a Chicago Bears mug, so he's not super stoked about that.
I'm just blocking out of my peripherals right now.
So you've had a busy weekend.
Yeah, it's been crazy.
So you were out running around like crazy, hooking people up with Garth Brooks tickets.
Yeah, it started Friday, so I had the press conference with Garth on Friday at around like 3 o'clock. And we had a contest that ended at 2 o'clock. So I had the opportunity to pick our winner before the press conference. And when we had the opportunity to chat with Garth, record a personalized video, and then go and deliver the tickets to the winner and play them that video. It was a really special moment.
Oh, that's incredible, man. Yeah.
It was really, really cool. And then from there, I just kept going. I went to Chicago for a country concert, came back, and went to the Garth show on Saturday, and then went back to Madison, Wisconsin on Sunday for a show there. So I'm actually skipping a show tomorrow that I originally planned on going, but I'm just like, I can't do it. I got to take it just a day.
Good Lord, man. You're all over the place.
Got to do it, man. Hustlers got to hustle, you know?
That's craziness. So, Matt, let's tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So my name is Matt. I do a morning radio show in Southwest Michigan, but I also do a weekend show in Madison, Wisconsin, both in the country music format. And I love it. It's great. The listeners are passionate, and it matches my passion for music in general. It's pretty awesome.
Do you do the Madison show remotely?
I do, yes.
Okay. I was going to say, man, that's a lot.
Yeah. I go back every once in a while, like this weekend, to be able to go and obviously meet listeners, and we call it touching the listeners, so they get a little bit of an idea who you are.
Okay.
And just not a voice on the radio. So yeah, it's super, super important for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's still a lot of traveling, man.
It is.
Holy cow.
Yeah, but I lived in Madison for a while too, so at least make it worth it. My best friend lives there too, so it's easy for me to justify the trip in general.
Gotcha. Yeah. What got you into radio?
It's interesting because when I was in high school, man, I had no idea that I wanted to do radio. My original goal when I was probably like a sophomore, when you actually have to like start like having an idea or thinking about what you're going to do. I was going to be a computer programmer.
Okay.
I'm like, man, that's where it's going to be. That's where the money's going to be. And I want to be rich and all that kind of stuff. And clearly that didn't work out. But I used to call in the radio station all the time, like middle school, high school, request songs. I was the kid that would sit next to the radio and wait for the DJ to play the song. And then I'd hit record on the cassette.
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of us that did that for
absolutely.
Sure.
So, and then we'd call and just to hear ourselves on the radio. And it was the coolest thing. And when it got to be high school, everybody at school would be like, oh, we heard you on the radio this morning. It was awesome. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. So fast forward to when I actually had to make a decision, like senior year going into freshman year of college, I'm just like, man, I don't want to sit behind a computer all day.
Yeah.
So I decided to go for marketing. So my degree essentially is in marketing. That is what I guess no radio degree, anything.
Yeah.
Just marketing. And they told me, going through that process, I had to do an internship. So all the times of listening to the radio and calling into the radio, I always heard intern Ben or intern whoever. I'm like, man, that would be like the easiest internship. It'd be the coolest internship. And so I started and just kind of went from there. Never looked away.
So that's crazy though. That's funny that you're just like, yeah, this is the route. Like, this will be easy.
Yeah.
And now you're there.
It's not as easy as it looks, actually. Just saying. Yeah.
I kind of have a similar story about not really knowing what to do. Mm. You know, I drew forever. I've kind of told the story before, at least I think I've told the story before mm-hmm. on here, that my mom took me with her when she got her first tattoo.
Yeah.
I was probably 6-7 years old.
Sure.
Absolutely fascinated by the process. Mm-hmm. I was already drawing, so I drew all the time. I drew tattoos all the time.
Wow.
Now, you get to middle school, high school, that's not exactly what the guidance counselors tell you is appropriate career path, especially, you know, I'm 34. So especially at that point, mm-hmm. that time frame, like tattoos were still like very outlaw. So right. that's definitely not what guidance counselors told you wanted to do. So I ended up falling into graphic design and did that for a while and did the same thing you said. I was like, man, I'm tired of sitting behind a desk. Mm-hmm. Like I'm tired of staring at a computer. I'm tired of being in a cubicle. This sucks. Mm-hmm. And then I started getting tattooed and it brought back that desire to tattoo. And I just kind of like dove back into that. So it's cool to hear somebody else have that same kind of story, even though it's a little different, but the same kind of story.
Well, it's funny too, how both of our scenarios, both of us are very successful. I mean, like I've worked very, very hard to kind of build an audience and it's worked out really, really well. You're the premier tattoo artist in the area. Like every time I ask somebody, especially when I first got here, you're the guy.
Well, I appreciate that.
So for that story to come out and you know, that's not the path that you anticipated on taking.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. That is.
I'm just a very, like, it doesn't matter what I do. I'm a very driven person. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that becomes its own weakness, is that I become driven beyond a point that I put everything else out. Mm-hmm. My wife will confirm that several times over that I get very tunnel vision and kind of just block everything out. Mm-hmm. Which does allow me to do things that I, you know, that other people don't think they can do.
Right.
You know, I've become a pretty high level tattooer. Mm-hmm. I've become a pretty high level shooter.
That's right. Yeah. You do that competitively.
Yeah. I shoot nationally.
Too. Yeah.
And now, you know, I'm not saying I'm a good podcaster, but I'm starting and I'm very focused on it.
Yes.
So I'm a very driven person.
Which is awesome.
So you got into radio and then what brought you to Southwest Michigan?
Interesting story. started radio. Doing 7 years part-time on a country music station back in my hometown of Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and didn't have a full-time opportunity.
I have a side note about Eau Claire, Wisconsin. We can get into later, but I have a story about there.
Perfect. So that's my hometown, 7 years, country radio station, never had a full-time opportunity, but there's an opportunity that opened up on a sister station, still the station that's still in the same company, in the same building, in fact, and it's just a hot EC. So it's a pop station.
Okay.
And so they offered that to me, and I said, you know what? I got to get it full-time somehow. So I did, and I ended up doing mornings and afternoons. So doing that, doing basically everything for the station. I was the promotion director. I was the imaging director, the webmaster, graphic designer, morning show host, afternoon show host.
Oh man, you were a jack of all trades.
Dude, everything. And there was no way that I would have been able to transition from doing work on the pop station and be able to transition to the country station because I was in a way too valuable for that station. And that's not like an arrogance thing or anything like that. It's just, I had so much on my plate as it was that it would have been easy to be able to drop that on somebody else. So looking at that, maxing out the opportunities, having two relationships end. And I'm just like, you know what? My best friend moved to Madison and he's like, you know what? You got to come down here. And he'd been telling me that for years. So all of that stuff kind of led to me saying, you know what? I got to make a jump. I got to do something and try to live life, you know, and being stuck in your hometown. Some people that works.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be that guy. And
I get it for sure.
Yeah. Brought me to Madison. Got to work there for a little bit and then brought me over here to Southwest Michigan. So all with the same radio company, which is amazing. And you don't see that anymore in radio unless you're a big conglomerate, like the, you know, the big, big dogs that have applications with hearts on them that are millions of dollars in debt. I might add.
That was awesome.
So, yeah. So if you have any idea who I'm talking about, so yeah, that's what brought me here. And I tell you what, man, I love it. It's beautiful. And the people are amazing and everybody just, everybody's really, really cool.
That's awesome. Man. Yeah. Yeah. So my quick story about Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Yes.
Probably, boy, I don't even know. 2003. Yeah. It's probably summer 2003. Mm-hmm. I played fast pitch softball, competitive fast pitch softball.
Wow.
And they held the World Series there, the competitive fast pitch.
In Carson Park?
I would guess so. I don't know what the name of it was.
Sure.
But it was in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and Eau Claire, Wisconsin is a divided city, basically, with Chippewa Falls.
Yes.
Right?
Chippewa. So okay. Not Chippewa.
Sorry. Yep.
Yeah. No,
sorry.
No, it's all right.
Well, that's all right. So so you say Eau Claire, and that's what it's called there. We have Eau Claire here.
Eau Claire here, yep.
Spelled exactly the same. Well, anyways, so the softball tournament was there. Mm-hmm. Liney Kugels is from Chippewa Falls.
Yep.
We went up there. I am probably 19 at the time. Mm-hmm. I'm the youngest guy on the team. It's a men's team, but I'm the youngest guy on the team.
Yep.
We went out to several bars there and drank Liney Kugels all night because it was dirt cheap.
Yep.
It was amazing time, but it was like, I was way under eight. Well, I was way under, I was 19.
Yeah.
But it was just like, we just snuck me into bar after bar because everybody else was overage.
Yep. Everybody grab him a beer and bring it back to the table, right?
It was a long weekend.
Yeah.
It was a fun weekend, but it was a long weekend.
I love that you say it was so cheap too, because I mean, pretty much there, you just turn on the faucet and it just pours. It's like straight from the river is what it is.
Opening day, we played a 7 a.m. softball game. We did not have another game that whole day, mm-hmm. but opening ceremonies were at 7 p.m. that night.
Wow.
So we literally played our game.
Yeah.
Went to the bar, drank all day, and then somehow we got elected to carry the flag for Indiana. One of the guys on the team wore it like a cape. I mean, because we'd been drinking all day.
Sure, absolutely.
I wish, if I could find the photo, it's please the most do. Ridiculous team photo I've ever seen.
Yeah.
We're, you know, we're all hammered, like hunched over. It's so bad.
Just representing your state like champs.
Yeah, thank God. Thank God that's a time in my life that's not around anymore.
Right. I played. Used to play wood bat tournament. In Chippewa, but that was like the Eagles club. So it's like not competitive. It was a wood bat tournament. And so nobody really gave a shit. It was just, you know, just drink and come and play the game.
Yeah.
That's it. So, yeah.
So we brought you in the studio tonight. You got a pretty interesting story to tell.
Yeah.
One that's from your childhood. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and talk about that a little bit.
Well, it goes all the way back to the year 1986 when my parents met. We'll fast forward now, 9 months later to 1987. was born. I've got a twin sister, which is pretty cool. She is by far my best friend in the world. I've got a lot of obviously really close friends, but she's my best friend. We're,
awesome.
From the same, you know, cut from the same cloth.
Literally.
Absolutely. Exactly. So, you know, it was pretty cool to be able to have a twin, but my father was not around. He wasn't part of the picture. They had divorced when we were about 2 years old.
Okay.
And, you know, he showed up here and there every once in a while, but it was basically mama that raised us. So we, you know, grew up in Barron, Wisconsin, which I don't know if you're watching The Voice.
I'm not.
Okay. So there's a contestant on there, Chris Cruzy.
Okay.
So he's from Barron, Wisconsin, too.
Oh, nice.
And it's a small town, and it's a hillbilly town, and it's my hometown, so I love it, you know? But it's pretty interesting, though, that, you know, just that somebody's going and making it on a national stage.
Yeah, that's cool. Always is really cool to see.
Yeah, yep. So vote for him. Shameless plug. So, so going from Barron, Wisconsin to Chautauqua, Wisconsin, and then moving to Elk Mound, Wisconsin, where I actually grew up and graduated high school. And when we were growing up, we lived on the farm. And when we were about fourth grade, mama got real sick. So she went to the hospital in Eau Claire,
Okay.
And after just a couple months there, they transferred her to Rochester, Minnesota, to the Mayo Clinic Health System, which is the hospital you go to if you got some real serious shit going
on. Yeah.
And after, you know, a few months there and not really knowing what was going on, eventually she passed away.
Okay.
So
did they ever figure out what was going on?
Yeah. So by the time that they did, she'd already lost too much weight. And so basically we'll kind of backtrack a little bit to where when she was a child, 14 and 16 years old, she had a form of childhood cancer.
Okay.
And so the chemotherapy that she had taken kind of messed up her immune system a little bit. So when she got sick, she got real sick.
Yeah.
And you know, if it was a cold or whatever, you know, she'd get over it and that's fine. But in this situation, she had, I think it was like her gallbladder removed or her appendix or something was removed in surgery when she was like 31. So like my age right now.
Yeah.
And got an infection based off of that surgery, but they couldn't figure out what the infection was caused from, didn't know what to treat her, how to treat her. And again, they, so then they finally figured it out, lost too much weight. She was very jaundiced as well. So, you know, the pigment of her skin was very, very yellow and just not a good situation.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah. So, you know, there was, and I'll remember again, a situation where the weekend before she passed, you know, we had gone every other weekend to go and visit her. And our dad was supposed to have us for the weekend. So our grandpa Cliff, who is an amazing person, and we had a lot of really amazing, lucky to have amazing people like that in our lives. And I'll touch base on a couple other people as we kind of progress the story.
Okay, but good.
Grandpa Cliff was the guy that would take us, and it was our grandma's ex-husband. So okay. He wasn't, like, their relationship had ended, and he was still taking us, still driving us to the hospital, you know, 3 hours away to go and visit her mom.
Is this a biological grandparent?
No.
Nope.
So, well, it was a grandparent by marriage.
Okay.
As we'll say, and then they divorced. Okay. So even through that, he was still around.
That's awesome.
Just kind of shows you the kind of person he is.
Yeah, for sure.
So that weekend, he asked us if we wanted to go. We said, you know, not this weekend. We're supposed to go with our dad, and we don't get to spend a whole lot of time with him. So we're going to go with him, and we'll go next weekend if that's cool, if that's okay. And we didn't know that was going to be our last opportunity.
Oh, that's
so.
That's intense. That's super rough, man.
Yeah. And when that happened, we didn't know exactly what was going to happen. You know, I find out years later that our uncle Perry, who is my mom's brother, one of her brothers, wanted to adopt us, and it would have been great.
Yeah.
And he's well off. He's made a great life for himself, and he busts his ass for everything he has. So we would have lived with her, Uncle Perry, and, you know, Aunt Nancy. It would have been great. But my dad decided that he wanted to step up and try to be a father at that point.
Oh, wow. And that's after, what'd you say, 10 years of not really having him?
Right, right.
That's crazy.
So he decided, and you know what? Him and I don't have a relationship today. I don't talk to him. We see each other at family holidays, that kind of stuff. We don't have a good relationship. And that's not with lack of trying. There's a lot of stuff that goes into that. But what I'll say is I respect the hell out of him for the decision that he made, because it was not an easy decision. Going and taking on two children who are twins, same age, 10, 11 years old, that at that point, you don't really know. You don't really know the kids.
Yeah.
And
you haven't been a parent this long, so you're not starting right from the beginning.
Yeah. And he had a couple kids that he was a father figure to with his relationship with his girlfriend, Lisa, who is another saint. She's an amazing person as well, too, because she was a part of our lives when he took on the responsibility of me and my sister.
Okay.
So she was there to kind of help out and stuff. But then we moved in there, went to school in Chippewa. It wasn't going well. I had no friends. My sister had one friend. And our grades were just terrible. So he made the decision to take us, move us back into our hometown, Elk Mound, and raise us on his own. So he switched a second shift to try to be able to make ends meet. Our first Christmas together, we didn't think we were going to get gifts. And our school district, we were recipients, we'll say, of Christmases for Kids or Toys for Tots, a program like that.
Yeah, that's amazing. And yeah. That's really why those programs are so important. You know, this is a firsthand experience for you.
Yeah.
A lot of us don't get to see that. So right. That's why those programs like that are just mm-hmm. so important.
Exactly. So I'm going to jump back just a little bit too, because that's really important as well. When our mom was raising us, she was trying to go to school to further her career or whatever. So we had to use food pantries and try to make ends meet that way. Yeah. And then we stayed with our grandpa while our grandma was with her mom in the hospital to, you know, take care of her and be with her. So we had teachers that would drive us from Barron, Wisconsin to Elk Mall, Wisconsin every day to go to school, which was about a 45-minute drive each way.
Oh, that's incredible.
So, you know, Anita Anderson, Cheryl Newman, incredible influences on our lives as well, too. So all of that stuff leads up to why I'm so happy to do the job that I do today. Because obviously, yeah, we play music. That's like the big thing that everybody knows about. But my first job above everything else is to serve other people.
Yeah.
That's we're public servants to our public because we are owned by the public. Our airways that we're broadcasting on every day are owned by you.
Yeah. And that's what you guys truly do is, mm-hmm. is serve the community. I know episode 8, mm-hmm. somewhere in there. Yeah, Zach East was on.
Yeah, nobody likes him though. No, I'm just kidding. No, we love for Zach. Sure. We love Zach.
He is what he is. But you know, he talked about that about really serving the community, and I think that's really neat that you guys do that.
Yeah, and I mean, just for me, it's so special because obviously the things and the help that I've had in my life, there's no way I can pay back what I got. But it's so important to me because you never know when that next kid's going to be the next Matt Malone. That, you know, I use that in quotes, to be the next person that then takes on that same responsibility of giving that back and being another charitable person, who that's going to affect down the road and what they're going to be when they grow up and they look back and say, you know what, somebody went and donated to that food pantry. Somebody went and donated Christmas presents to give me a Christmas.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah, it's important to pay it forward. Absolutely. It really is. And we always try to do that. I mean, I'm not trying to jump on you and steal your story, but that's always something that we always try to do for the school that my sons go to, mm-hmm. is that anything we can, you know, they do a lot of things. They're just silly. They have like Popcorn Friday, mm-hmm. and it's like, you know, for a quarter, the kids get a bag of popcorn. Mm-hmm. So we will always send like $5.
Oh, wow.
Just, awesome. You know what I mean? Like I grew up being one of those kids that didn't get a lot of that stuff. That mm-hmm. didn't have, you know, they couldn't get Popcorn Friday for that quarter.
Right.
You know, so... Right. We always try to send that extra just to help those kids to make sure that everybody's included. Cause that's little really cool. things like that are important.
Absolutely. It's the little things that matter. Yeah. And when those kids grow up and then be like, okay, you know, Weaver's dad brought us, you know, brought us extra money so we can get popcorn. That's something that makes an impact.
Yeah. And I don't care if they know or not. That's really not the point.
No, but
it's
not just,
it's, you know, I remember that being a kid is always kind of being that kid that was like, yep. Everybody else gets to eat popcorn. Yeah. I'm sitting here, you know, and popcorn is whatever. It doesn't matter. But it's just that.
But it's a special thing when you're in school. It's that
feeling
like that. Right.
of being like left out.
Right. Nobody wants to be left out.
Yeah, I get that. And you know, you talked about going to food pantries. And I actually talked about this with somebody today, as a matter of fact, which is funny that you bring it up. Is I can remember that too with growing up with my mother. She was poor. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a lot of money. And I can remember, this is bad. I'm going to say it because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I can remember my stepdad buying food stamps mm-hmm. from like crackheads.
Oh yeah.
Because you could buy it, you know, you could buy it twice the value
yep.
that you gave them money because they wanted to score.
Yep.
But it was a way for us to get food.
They were poor businessmen is what they were. Is what that was.
You know, and food stamps aren't even around anymore. They have all the cards and stuff.
EBT cards.
That was actually when you could get that stuff, you know, and he would straight up buy, you know, give $20 to a crackhead and get, you know, 40, 50 bucks worth of food stamps.
You do what you got to do to feed your family, man.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's one of those things that here's the thing too, is like when you're a kid, man, you don't even know. You don't know what's going on, man. I had the best, when my mom was around, I had the best life, man. I living on the farm, and we used to, in the summertime, lay a blanket on the grass. We used to look up at the stars, and our mom used to talk to us and act like we're adults, you know, and ask us questions. So what's going on? Do you still like that girl? And it was the coolest thing. And you never knew that there was a trouble in the world, man. Everything was great.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. How's the beer, by the way?
It's really delicious, actually. Right? It's one of the better beers I've probably ever had.
There you go.
To be honest, it's really good, man. Yeah. I appreciate you bringing it to
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. I want to spread the good word of the the old Spotted Cow.
The Spotted Cow.
Yeah, I call this cow tipping.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, you said you kind of moved in with your dad, and your dad mm-hmm. actually stepped up pretty well.
Yeah. He was still an asshole. He still was an asshole, and I think he knows he was an asshole. The good thing that I will say is he gave me a work ethic.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And sometimes that's a little bit of a detriment to me because I work all the time. So, you know, it's good, but it wasn't a normal childhood, we'll say. And yeah. I don't think anybody really has a normal childhood. I think the thought of a normal childhood is nice, but that's what gives people character.
Yeah, when you hear that, you know, you like you said, when you think about it, you're like, what is a normal childhood? Because yeah, it's not what you see on TV.
No, no white picket fences anymore. Yeah. No, those are gone.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we, you know, grew up there, graduated. As soon as I graduated, I was out. My sister used to sneak around and get out. So she got out a little bit early before we graduated. But we didn't turn 18 till July. So she turned, we turned 18 in July. So she actually snuck out a little bit early, got out, moved in with some friends at a neighbor farm and met her husband now. And they've been together for damn near 10 years, forever. Oh, it feels awesome. Like. Yeah. So they're doing good. I've got an amazing niece and nephew from them. My half-sister, Samantha, she's got an awesome little boy too, Elijah. And not trying to brag, but his middle name is mine.
So
it's pretty cool. So I feel real, real nice about that too.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. But yeah, it's kind of interesting. So just everything, I don't know, everything I've been through in my life just kind of led to, I guess, repay everything I had. I've got the St. Jude tattoo that you did for me.
Yeah.
And so with my mom's battle that she went through, she didn't have the research that they did, I wouldn't be alive. My sister wouldn't be alive. My niece and my nephew wouldn't be here. So it's just, you know, again, those things. I take those things to heart.
Yeah, it really is important to give back. And it's really awesome to see you're doing so much of it, especially that you're doing so much of it in a community that I don't want to say isn't yours, because this community has become yours. Absolutely. But as a community that you've had to adopt, you know, you're really doing a lot. And it is at a bigger level than that. But it is neat to see you come in and really do this at a community that isn't your first home, isn't your second home. So I think that's really awesome, man.
I appreciate it. It's home to me now, man. I tell you, I got people that even on holidays, they know that my family's back home, but they didn't invite me over to have Thanksgiving or Easter or whatever with them. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So
that experience of having your mom, I'm going to get deep and I'm sorry. Here.
No, go for it.
Those moments of coming to realization that your mom is gone and having to, did you know that you were going to have to move with your dad at that point? Or did you, I mean, I know that's a lot to take on it. You said 10, 11 years old. Yeah. That's a lot to really like focus on or understand. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you said he really, I mean, he was only in your life periodically at that point.
Right. Right. We didn't know what was going to happen. And I think that the really, really tough thing is the way we found out our mom passed away is we were staying with our grandpa and we got dropped off at our house at the farmhouse, and we hadn't been there for a while. So it was nice. And our mom's boyfriend, Bill, was there. And so we went upstairs to the house or whatever, and all of a sudden we see these boxes, and he's packing up these boxes. And we asked, you know, what's going on? What are you packing all this stuff up for? And he told us, your mom passed away.
Oh, man.
And my sister ran off immediately crying, and I looked at him. I'm like, that's not funny.
Yeah.
Because we didn't know. You know, I had no idea.
Yeah, that's devastating.
We never in a million years would have thought that was what the outcome was. We thought, okay, pretty soon mom's going to come home.
Yeah.
And she never came home.
That's rough.
Yeah. And there are certain moments in your life, and I think everybody knows that if you've lost a parent or lost a grandparent or somebody, that there are those certain times in your life that you expect them to be there, that they should be there. Cole Swindell's song, You Should Be Here. It's a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
But like my sister and her bachelorette party, her wedding, the birth of their children.
Yeah. Those are moments.
Yeah. And all of that stuff. And she's not there.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, my Aunt Ruth Ann, amazing woman. And she was there for us when we needed her. Auntie Bev and other family stepped up because of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's still hard to think about. I actually saw a video that I posted on Facebook that was a home video like 4 years ago of Halloween where our mom made us these costumes. My costume was badass. So it was like, dude, it was like a werewolf, but she literally like glued pieces of hair on my face to make a lot. I'll show you here in a little bit.
That's
but
awesome.
It was a sweet costume, but just seeing her on camera and hearing her talk, like you miss those things. And I probably haven't heard her talk in 4 years since I uploaded that video. And again, not being able to hear her actually speak or say anything to you over the course of, you know, the amount of time that she's been gone now, which is, you know, 21 years. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And that's really hard to, that's even hard for me to comprehend. Mm-hmm. You know, as much as as much as I can sit here and pretend like I know, I don't. And it's really hard for me to just sit here and even pretend to comprehend what, you know, what that would feel like.
Yeah, I will say that it's not something that necessarily gets easier.
Yeah.
You're just able to cope with it better.
Yeah, I've heard that. So. We just went through a similar situation. Mm-hmm. My wife's mother passed away about a year ago.
Sorry to hear that.
And it's the same thing. Like you said, we hear that a lot, that it's mm-hmm. not, it doesn't make it easier. Mm-hmm. You know, it just becomes easier to cope with.
Yeah.
And it's been hard. It's been a hard road.
I'll say 21 years, I try not to show it a whole lot. And there are certain times where I'll crack a little bit, but there's days when I'm home alone. I break down, you know, and that happens.
As you would.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing that I appreciate is I got her smile, so I can see that all the time.
That's awesome.
And it's pretty awesome. I just wish everybody could meet her, because she was a badass chick, man.
Yeah.
She spoke her mind, but she was the most caring person in the world. And we had so many cats in the damn house. I'm allergic to cats. And she made sure that we got the medicine, but she just wanted to take care of these animals. Like, she's awesome. So.
Oh, that's cool. That's funny, though. She's like, yeah, you can deal with it.
That's right, right. I mean, just a little itchy eyes, right?
You get a little scratchy. You're good. Right. These cats are important right now.
Right, right. So.
Oh, that's funny, man.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And she gave me my passion for music, though. Like, I remember when she wanted, we didn't have money to, but man, she's like, I would love to get you into guitar lessons and stuff, and end up picking it up as an adult and learning how to play it on myself or whatever. But man, I've got vinyl records from artists that we used to listen to when, you know, we were growing up. And my sister just went to the Fleetwood Mac concert last night in Minneapolis, St. Paul, because that was her mom's favorite band.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
She said, you know, farewell tour, gotta go. And I said, you have to go for both of us, because I had to work the 2 days that they're around us.
Yeah.
And I could make it. So.
Oh, that's really cool, man.
Yeah. But she sent me a bunch of videos, like I was there too with her. So.
So those following weeks when you first kind of move in with your father, mm-hmm. how was that, getting used to that?
It was different. I mean, he probably knew that she was going to be passing, or that things weren't looking so good. So I think he kind of got ready a little bit earlier, where he wanted to start being there a little bit more to kind of start their transition a little bit more.
Okay.
And it got okay. I mean, it wasn't easy. There was obviously learning, because he was a lot more of an aggressive parent, in a sense, if that makes sense, where there wasn't a lot of, I don't know, looseness in his parenting style.
Okay.
He's very strict. So, you know, that was tough, but we got to do things that we never really got to do. I mean, we went camping a handful of times, maybe with our mom, but we used to go up. I mean, and there were good moments. I don't want to make it seem like it was all, you know, shit, but there were some really good times where we'd go camping up north and, you know, spend time with the whole family. And like, it was a big, big deal, and it was great. But the transition, I guess, from when him and his girlfriend broke up to being a single parent was a lot harder, because he's working second shift, meaning we went to school, we got home, we may have seen him in passing,
yeah,
but probably not. So we would have to make our own food. We'd have to do our own laundry. We'd do all the dishes. We were basically self-sustaining children at that point, because he was working on trying to bring home money.
Yeah.
To be able to pay the bills.
That's so rough. I can't even. So I'm a father of two. You just recently met my boys.
Yeah, yeah.
They're maniacs.
There's a sweet haircut too, though, man. Yeah. I'm telling you, that's. I wish I had that when I was their age. Instead, I had some stupid ass bowl cut.
So what Matt's talking about is my youngest, Sagan, has mohawk straight, and I'm like punk rock mohawk.
Yep.
That is 100% him. We go to a local barbershop, Rough Cuts Barbers, the Rough Brothers Barbershop that everybody knows around here. I went to high school with the guys.
Sure, there you go.
So we're sitting in there one day getting our hair cut. This was probably, so he's four. Mm-hmm. This was probably 2.5 years ago. He's barely talking.
Yeah.
We're looking at this chart, the hair chart. They have a big hair chart that every barber in the world has that has like different hairstyles. And for some reason, there's a mohawk like right in the middle of it. And he's like, Dad, that one. And I'm like, okay. He's, you know, he's like, year
That'd
and a half,
yeah.
two, somewhere around in that area. I'm like, that's cute. You know, yeah. No one cares. He has had it ever since. He will not let you cut it off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say it was the first time, but maybe the second or third time after we got his hair cut, he threw a fit because he thought we were going to cut it off.
Oh,
like,
really?
We're like, no, buddy, we just have to like trim it up. Right, it's getting ridiculous. He absolutely loves having a mohawk.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I mean, he's a cool kid for that. Just for that alone.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
He's a lunatic. It's awesome. He's just like me.
Yeah.
But what I was saying is, as a parent, it's hard for me to comprehend even being a single parent to two kids, trying to do all of that, you know, bring home money to support them, let alone trying to halfway take care of them. You know, like you said, you kind of took care of yourself, so that's a different thing, but you still got to be there. You still got to provide for them. Mm-hmm. That's mind-blowing to me that, you know, looking back, you said now that you don't have the greatest relationship with him, mm-hmm. which happens.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. But, you know, in hindsight, you did say that, like, he really did try.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's cool to see. Even regardless of how you feel now, mm-hmm. that is cool to see.
Yeah. And my thing, too, is, like, everything, all my feelings and the relationship we have now is based off of things that have happened since, you know, growing up to be an adult. And he doesn't make great decisions. And that's led to where we are. And you know, if he ever wanted to discuss those, I'd be more than happy to. But we tried to talk about behaviors and things that he was doing, and, you know, not to get into a therapy session or whatever. But just to know that my relationship is not based off of anything that happened when we were children.
Yeah.
It's since then.
This is therapy, buddy. What are you talking
about? It
is.
That's it, man. Absolutely.
This is public therapy.
This is beer therapy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been an interesting ride.
I can imagine. You know, and I have a similar circumstance. I still have a relationship with my mother. Mm-hmm. I talk to her a lot, actually. But we had a strained relationship for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say this now. I love you, Mom, because she listens mm-hmm. to every episode. But she also knows what we went through.
Yeah.
And, you know, she made a lot of poor decisions. For me, growing up, mm-hmm. she made a lot of poor decisions. And she still, honestly, even to this day, she doesn't make a lot of great financial decisions. She doesn't make a lot of great decisions. I tell her this, and it's serious. I've always told her she's been a great mom, mm-hmm. and she's been a terrible parent.
Sure.
And those are two separate things.
They absolutely are. And if there was a booklet to Parenting 101, every parent would read that, and they'd all be experts, but there isn't, man.
Absolutely.
It's hard. It is hard. And that's why I try to give him as much leeway as possible when it comes to that standpoint.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is a difference, and 100%. So.
Yeah, for sure.
But you guys have been to the fence, though, so that's good. You guys are good.
Yeah, we never got away from it. You know, I don't mm-hmm. want to say, but it was definitely strained for a long time.
Sure.
I grew up with a lot of things that a lot of people didn't have to deal with. Mm-hmm. Even some of my siblings. So I have several siblings.
Sure.
All much younger than me. You know, and I grew up with a lot of things that my siblings didn't have to deal with that I talked to my siblings about that they didn't even realize happened. You know, so I grew up having to witness a lot of things that I shouldn't have had to witness at a young age. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we've mended that fence, but I do understand what you're saying about, like, regardless of how you feel, mm-hmm. like, if they don't make smart decisions, they don't make smart decisions. That's not your fault.
Exactly. Exactly.
And sometimes that's hard to cope with.
It is. It is. But, you know, I mean, that's the thing where in a situation, I mean, you obviously grew up to be awesome and to be able to be a great businessman. You're successful. You're a family man. And that's great. And that stems from the things that you learn from that. And, I mean, for me, yeah, I don't have kids. I don't think.
I don't know why that took me so long to catch what you said.
Still no Father's Day cards in the mail, so that mail might be very, very delayed. But I don't know. But
oh, that was so excellent.
So, thank you. So I'm still at the point where, you know, I'm still figuring my life out too. But, you know, I'm pretty happy where I'm at. I'm happy with, you know, the direction I've taken in my life. And am I perfect? Hell no. I am absolutely. I'm the furthest thing from perfect.
Yeah.
But I have good qualities, I'd say, that I've learned from the rough stuff.
Absolutely.
That's what's important.
That's what life is about.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of what this whole show is about, is just what made you who you are, mm-hmm. you know, and that's exactly what this is. And it's obviously, I don't want to say been a positive for you because, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes it sucks doing this, but you've turned it into a positive by helping give back and wanting to give back and being very charitable.
Try to be.
Whether it's with goods or services or whatever, mm-hmm. we'd be straight up your time. Mm-hmm. It's really neat to see, man.
Thanks, man. It's what I love to do. So if it's something as simple as giving people an opportunity to go and see Garth Brooks for free because they would never be able to afford to buy tickets or couldn't get them or whatever, like that for me makes me feel better. I've met enough people. I've seen enough shows. I want to be able to give people that opportunity.
That was awesome. I was really excited that you guys did it the way you guys did it, too.
Thank you.
You know, you guys in radio, you guys give stuff away all the time. Mm-hmm. and to see something that you guys really filmed and you track the person down. It was like Clearinghouse?
Yeah, Publishers Clearinghouse. Yeah. Absolutely.
It was like that. You like knock on the door. You're like, I got your big check, except for it's not a check. It's tickets.
And Garth Brooks talking at you.
Yeah. Oh, that was such a cool thing. I was happy to get to see that. And I'm happy you guys did it that way, man. That was really cool.
It was a last minute decision. So to kind of give you, again, a peek behind the curtain is we had, we'll say, six pairs of tickets that we had for just giveaway. And we had set aside a pair for two station staff to go, and then the rest were giveaways.
Okay.
And what happened is we had also an opportunity to buy a couple pairs of tickets through the station as well, because normally they just say, okay, just the public. Radio stations, no, don't normally get to do that. But
yeah.
Garth's really great with us and with, you know, all of radio people. So with Garth being so great with that stuff, we bought a couple pairs of tickets and did a lottery for employees to be able to buy those tickets.
Oh, nice.
So there was a pair that were not able to go. So I bought those tickets and then used the station staff tickets to give away those pair of tickets that day.
Oh, dude, that's so awesome.
So, and it just worked out. It was just like a spur of the moment thing. Like, okay, we have this extra pair of tickets. We have this press conference. Like, it'd be really freaking cool if we could do this.
That's such a good idea. Man.
Yeah, I'm so glad it worked out the way it did, though. It would have been better if John would have been there, but his wife was there, and I think she had a better reaction than what he would have had.
Yeah.
Honestly.
He'd have been a little more stoic, probably.
Right, right.
Yeah, just kind of,
like, oh, that's cool, man.
Cool, thanks.
Yeah. And she actually looked shocked.
Who the fuck is Garth Brooks? Right.
Never heard of her.
Yeah, never heard of her.
It was cool. Yeah, I don't know. Just things like that, too. I mean, you can surprise people.
Yeah, anytime you can do that, that's really awesome.
Yeah.
So what are the big charities you like to give to or like to give your time to?
Man, there's two that are really, really close to my heart. Obviously, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. I'm unbelievably passionate about them. Being able to go and tour their hospital and see what they do, it's unbelievable. And you hear radiothons and, they make you sad a little bit. And you know what? Good. It should make you sad because it should make you try to appreciate, you know, a little bit of what you have, but understand that there are families that don't have those same luxuries. So being able to bring obviously a point to that and a focus on that the chef down there makes Cheeto pizza for patients who wants it. I mean, the things that they do and the creativity that they do and that they have to make these kids try to have a normal life, it's amazing.
I don't even know what would be on Cheeto's pizza.
It's literally just, I think it's just crust and Cheetos. I don't even know if there's sauce on it. It might be like G sauce or something, but.
Yeah, I don't even know what you would put on it.
Man, yeah. I tell you what, you know, work with the kids and see if you can come up with a recipe.
So totally off topic. No, it's not off topic at all, but I've had macaroni and cheese pizza.
Dude, it's the best.
It's so good.
Oh yeah. That's in again, Eau Claire. We got a shop down on Water Street.
Yeah.
Every time I'm back and I go for some brewskis, always got to pick up a large mac and cheese with four ranch sauce.
It's so good.
Yep. The guy knows me. My face, he goes, hey, what's going? I'm like, yeah, I'm back.
That's awesome.
So
Matt, the way that I close out every show, and I'm sure you've heard by now if you listen, is I always ask for a piece of advice or, you know, a word of wisdom to give people. So if you had somebody going through some things, whether it's down the road kind of dealing with the death of a parent, or just trying to find themselves, what would your advice be?
There's a couple different pieces of advice that will kind of all piece together to one. You never know what somebody's going through. You never know what somebody's going through. So always try to treat people with respect and treat them kind, because your conversation with them could be the difference between, honestly, life and death. And I know that's going real dark real quick, but somebody may be having the worst day ever and they're on their way to go home and do something that they're going to regret. And you simply holding the door for them walking into the door or out the door of the convenience store and saying, hey, there you go. And I'm saying, thanks. You're very welcome. Hey, how's it going? Or just small talk. Something as simple as that makes such a big difference.
Yeah.
Huge. And I know I got a little bit heavy on that one too, but another one, and I just heard it again today that kind of brought it back to the forefront is, people may not remember what you say. People may not remember what you do, but people remember how you make them feel. So make everybody feel good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So that's mine, and it's I don't know, real close to my heart.
That's
personally
awesome, man.
So, yeah.
So if anybody wants to get in contact with you,
yes,
or reach out to you, or just see what you're up to, what's the best way for them to do that?
Call my agent. No, I'm just kidding. Call Zach East.
Yes.
And best way to do it, honestly, Just look me up on Facebook, Matt Malone Radio. Super easy to get to. And, you know, I'm always running all over. So between Facebook and Instagram, honestly, I try to post up there pretty frequently to keep everybody in the know on what I'm doing.
What's your Instagram?
Instagram, I think, is at Matt Malone Radio as well, too.
Okay.
I'm going to double check that.
Oh, yeah, you better double check. Are you a Twitter guy?
I'm not a Twitter guy.
Yeah, I don't understand Twitter. I try.
Twitter's good for sports, but that's about it.
Yeah, I have a Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't understand how anybody finds anything.
That's right. Pound sign this and pound sign that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Matt Malone Radio. Okay. At Matt Malone Radio.
At Matt Malone Radio.
That's it. So super easy.
Instagram's hot.
Dude, it's where it's at. And honestly, I get so much interaction with artists through Instagram too.
Yeah.
And I think that's where everybody's going that way. So you want to try to make a comment and have your favorite country star or whoever see it, do it on Instagram.
Nice.
That's it.
Matt, thank you for joining me tonight, buddy.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Thanks.